Blog Talk Radio. afraid. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this evening's session of Exploring Ekphrasis. I know that the intro music was a bit longer than we normally air, but I want to explain that it was a piece. It was called Hymn to the Fallen. It was the sound from the soundtrack of Saving Private Ryan. So I thought that was most appropriate considering the content of this evening's program. So thank you for sitting through that, and I hope you found it. I hope you found it a beautiful piece of music. Anyway, I have the great good fortune of having a guest host tonight. Would you like to introduce yourself, guest host?
Hello, Bobby. This is Gray Eyes Smith. Everyone.
Yes. I have
Saturday.
Gray Eyes with me tonight. Yes. So thank you, Gray. Dan has a scheduling conflict that he tried to resolve and unfortunately could not. Gray, thank you so much for generously stepping in. Otherwise, I was going to be talking to myself, which from past experience, I can tell you, can be really boring. I'm schizophrenic, and so am I. Anyway, we have one carryover from our last program, which we will dispatch post-haste, and then we will get into the content of this evening's program, and I will, when we do, before we get into the pieces for this evening's program, I'll explain a little bit about the background of the prompts. So we have, would you like to post or shall I?
It doesn't matter. I can do it if you want.
Yeah, well, we have the one by Pink Fairy.
Okay,
and
so you want me to post that one?
Yes, please.
Okay, I will. Alrighty. And I will tell you as soon as it is up. Here we go. Okay, there we go.
Alrighty, and I will go ahead and read that.
Oh, I want to bring Pam on, actually. Sorry.
What's that?
Pam is on the show.
We have a sound card?
No, she's going to be on the show live. Hello, Miss Pam Ray. Our beautiful co-host.
It is, yes.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Yes,
oh,
hello, Bob.
I get to
hello, Green. Good to hear you both.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Pam.
Wonderful.
What a treat to have you with us. This is lovely.
Well,
thank you.
You know, it's just such an important topic. I wanted to make sure to join you both.
Oh, that's very, very kind, very generous of you, and it is heartily appreciated. Well, in that case, would you like to read you know what? Let me just dispatch this one from the last contest, and we'll comment on it, and then we'll move right into the meteor stuff. So we have this was from the last contest, which was the black and white illustrations of David Alvarez, and we have. What else will Crindola do, Grandpa? Crindola, the creepy monster, comes from down the Tennessee hills at night. Want her wrath. She scratches and claws your good dreams away, replacing them with nightmares you are not old enough to hear about. The grandchildren look at Grandma, who slowly shook her head no. She used to ask Grandpa to stop telling them stories like this. But now they're older, and she knew she could not stop him. His brown eyes had glistened with mischievous joy. He looked like a young man again, not a 73-year-old. What else would the Grindola do, Grandpa? Buying the story, Grandpa took some time thinking, which added to their relief. When you are telling the truth, you do not have to think this hard. And Crindola will leave warts on your brain and add bugs to your heart. Now, the grandchildren were laughing, loving the story. Grandma's knitting needles were picking up speed, a sure sign that Grandpa was about to get told off, but good. You never wanted Grandma's knitting needles to take off like this. End poem. I have to give some extra credit to Pink Fairy, because she did some research. She said, I'm digging into the artist, and this was one of the images that I did not post. So she went into his portfolio and selected one on her own. So, you know, extra credit points for Pink Fairy, and she told a wonderful story to go with the one that she selected. So, Pam, what did you think of this?
Oh, I enjoyed this one. You know, it's one of those rites that just brings a smile to your face.
Okay.
I really like how, through the gift of storytelling, she brings out the personality of both the grandma and the grandpa. The grandpa who just can't wait to share a spooky story and is young and mischievous at heart. And the grandma who tries to keep everybody in line, but also at the same time lets them have their fun. And the needle, the clicking of the needle, knitting needles as a sign of her increasing irritation, I thought was an especially nice touch. So very well done.
I did too. Gray, what did you think of Pink Fairy's piece?
I thought it was wonderfully creative. You know, she really captured the imagination with Crindola. You know, it's an awesome name for the beast that thing is. And, you know, I really like the story that went along with the beast that Crindola was, you know, putting warts on your brain and bugs in your heart. Hilarious. But, no, I mean, you know, that's a scene every grandchild, you know, wishes that he could have, for sure.
Well, God bless grandparents for scaring the daylights out of us. My grandmother used to tell me stories about the old country and walking through graveyards. So I think that's part of their job description. So thank you, Pink Fairy, for that. And that was our last entry for the last contest. So now we have tonight's contest, and it's called The Art of War, Remembrance of the Fallen, Honoring Memorial Day. I'm personally invested in this one, and I have mentioned it a couple of past shows. The reason my last tour in the Marine Corps was my great good fortune to work at the Marine Corps Museum. Now, there's a new one down at Quantico, and I have to admit with some embarrassment that I've never been to it. But the one that I worked at was in the Washington Navy Yard, and we had people in and out of there doing a lot of writing, but we also had something which are the people that are called combat artists. Now, the combat artist position was actually created officially for the Vietnam conflict, but you will see artwork and photography coming out of World War II from just people who happen to have the gift. You had correspondents out there like Rosenthal, who took the photograph of the Iwo Jima flag raising, which actually there were two, if you know your history. There were photographers out there taking photographs, but there were also combat artists. Excuse me, there were artists out there that on their own were recording on what was happening, just for their personal satisfaction. But with Vietnam, excuse me, came the combat, a billet called Combat Artist. And, excuse me, I worked for one. He was the art curator at the Marine Corps Museum. His name was John. You'll see, it went by Jack Dyer. You'll see artwork in the prompts by Major John T. Dyer. same gentleman. There's also artwork in there from Lieutenant Colonel Donna Neary, who I knew personally, and Charles Waterhouse, and Gish. And so I knew a lot of these folks. Excuse me. My COVID cough has come to visit me. But I knew these folks. They were active duty Marines, but they were also accomplished artists. And a lot of what you see now is because of their efforts. So I wanted to introduce our audience to not only the photography, that the artwork and there, I just scratched the surface. There is a whole a panoply of artwork out there that, and some of it quite startling. I tried to keep mine pretty, let's put it this way, on the mild side. But there's artwork out there that's quite startling in photography, which, as I said in my introduction, war is almost too easy a subject for the artist. So you have photography. I try to mix the photography and the artwork together. And so that's the genesis of this, is my personal involvement with these wonderful artists who are all of, unfortunately, except Mr. Dyer and Mr. Gish are still alive and still painting. So I wanted to make this artwork and the photography a subject of our Memorial Day contest. So with no more verbosity, let's go ahead and plunge into this. We had some
we have Selena on the line.
Hello. Hello,
Selena.
Everyone. Hello.
Hi, Selena.
Can you hear me? Can you hear
me?
We
also have area code 660, so I'll bring them on.
Oh, wonderful.
Hello, area code. Hello, area code 660. Who's calling, please?
Hey, it's Gavin.
Hi, Gavin.
You folks are speaking so quickly, I can't keep track of who you are. Ooh, I got out there.
I'm here. Selena? Can you hear me?
Okay, I'm sorry, who?
I'm here, Selena. Can you hear me?
Oh, Selena, thank you.
Hello,
thank
sweetheart.
You. I thought that you said. I'm sure. And who's our other guest?
I think it's Gavin.
Who was that?
Gavin?
Gavin Brown. Yeah.
I'm sorry, who?
Couldn't forget
sorry.
Memorial Day. Gavin, I'm in Late Night Poets with Pam.
Okay. Gavin? Great. Outstanding. Okay, well, let's get into this wonderful poetry. And Selena, since you are up and joining us, let's make you first. How's that grab you?
Oh. Okay, that grabs me fine.
So, Ray, can you bring up Selena's wonderful SoundCloud for us, please?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I posted
Oh, sorry. I thought you wanted me to read first.
Oh, maybe
yeah,
if
that's
you
what
would
I
rather read.
No, I misunderstood. Sorry.
If you'd rather read, we wouldn't mind
no,
that.
No, it's your show, darling. You do what you like.
Well,
I'm just an editor.
I think since we have the live Selena, let's have read.
Anything you like, you just say.
Yes, please.
Right.
So, Greg, could you put Selena's up, please?
Yeah, I am right now. Sorry.
Okay.
Find it.
And we'll get back to Jenny the Deep.
Okay.
Okay, there goes Selena.
SoundCloud?
There is a SoundCloud, yes.
No, we're going to have her read. We got
oh.
the live article here. Yes, let's take advantage of it.
You want a live read? Okay, then. No problem. Okay. Right, so this is called Hell's Portal. In the ocean's swelling embrace, the fallen are rocked, though there are no sweet strains to mother's lullaby. Within the bowels of megalodonic vessels, screams are locked, as wallowing on their side, they slowly and painfully die. I stand on deck in a surreal, macabre nightmare, witnessing my brothers in arms as scattered debris, fleshy flotsam, floating as through Hell's portal I stare at their blood, bone and gristle polluting the sea. Blown from my warm sanctuary and dreams of my homeland, the last few hours of bloodlust seem an insane illusion. The first wave brought with its sleight of hand, unforeseen carnage, heinous horrors, and stunned confusion. A perfect paradise marred by swarms of virulent Valkyries storming through the ether of dawn's sweet breath, like a murder of crows swooping in greedy reveries, voraciously picking the bones of the deluge of death. In the wake of the carnage stretched out before me, my mind enters a limbo realm of distorted emotion, where we all doubt the sacrifice we make to be free, as the tender young bodies dance in the ocean. End poem.
May I say that was a beautiful read. And thank you very much.
My pleasure, my dear.
Oh, we enjoy your SoundClouds more than we can say, but to have you read your piece live to us is just a joy. And I'm going to be a greedy host and start the comments off to tell you that this is a stunning piece of writing. Your alliteration, your assonance and consonants, just from a technical point of view, it's a real joy to read. It's melodic in the way it flows, but your storytelling is so stunning. It is visceral, it's raw, but it's compassionate at the same time. You feel the warfare going on, and you feel the sorrow in what the person and this particular prompt that you selected was called First Wave, and it's by Tom Lay, and that was one of the pieces that really struck me. You've done this is just an incandescent piece of writing.
Thank you very much.
Pam, what did you think of Selena's work?
Sorry, Bobby. Pam had to drop.
Uh-oh. Well, in that case, Gray, you're on the spot.
Your talent really shines through in this, right? You know, you're so skillful at what you do, no matter what angle you're coming from. You know, you always nail it right on the nail.
Oh, bless you.
You really drove this scene home, yep. and you felt every word and every scene that was painted there. So, wonderful job, beautifully crafted.
Thank you very much, Gray. Thanks.
We have Ben Hart. We have Ben Hart on the board. He's listening in, and he says, "Wow, Stell, this is an amazing write. Love your work. What a haunting piece." And I
thank you, Ben.
Is a very good descriptor for that. So thank you so much for contributing this. And this is a hell of a way to start off the program. So let's.
Well, I, Bobby, I love war poetry. I've written 11 to date. This is my sort of latest, and I really enjoy war poetry very, very much. So I couldn't miss out on the contest, you know. And thank you very much for putting it up.
Oh, you're welcome. I was going to ask if you had anything that you wanted to share with us about this piece.
Yeah, just that really, that I like writing war poetry. It really inspires me, you know. And this just reminded me of, you know, when I looked at the painting. I mean, I love art as well, so the two together, hand in hand. And it just reminded me of Pearl Harbor, you know, with all this in the background. And I just went with that, really. But, you know, I found it very inspiring contest. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the feedback.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I put a lot of work into this. I personally invested in this contest more than most.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I think you always do put a lot into your contest, you and Daniel.
Thank you.
You know,
well, having been a veteran, I have.
Yes.
Many,
yes.
It was a personal investment for me.
Of course. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So let's.
We're getting Gavin.
What's that?
Oh, Gavin's still there.
Yeah, Gavin, are you still there? Okay, please share your thoughts with us on Stellina's work.
Yeah, so this actually was a very vivid imagery adventure for me. I'm not a veteran, right, but a lot of my family has served in the service, and I watch a lot of war films. So, I mean, it reminded me of the brutality of Vietnam almost, because it's just so harrowing, or like D-Day, you know, like one of those like very violent battles, because it's like the body parts, the imagery with the body parts
yeah.
is stunning. I feel like I read a lot of stuff like this where it's very dark and harrowing, and I really enjoy this kind of work. I didn't read along what I was listening, and I have my son here with me, so I would give you a more in-depth analysis if you'd like me to later, but I just really, really enjoyed the adventure. Thank you for writing it.
Thank you very much, Gavin, for that.
Yeah, jot a few of your thoughts on a comment at the end of her work. I'm sure she'd appreciate seeing your thoughts as well as hearing them. I know I always do. So.
Oh yeah.
Just pop along.
So okay. Now that I think I've got my host's footing under me, let's move on to we had put up originally. Yeah, Jenny, the Deep, and are we still absent, Pam?
Yes, I think she had to go for the night, quite honestly.
Oh, all right. Well, would you like to read this one for us, Gray?
Yep, sure. Oh, okay, sorry. Gonna get to it. Jenny the Deep. War heroes deserve so much more. Sorry, I got to put it in desktop mode. Turbulent treachery tatters trenches, tearing troops to shreds, lined up like fences. Some survived murky swamps of gunpowder and lead. Others, prisoners of war, by leaders' lucrative powers, or shot dead. For what? At what cost? Soldiers sacrificed their lives, or loved ones, just to come home to be tossed aside or lost, saturated their feet and boots, thick with foot rot. Should have been saluted a hero, sadly came home a zero. Generations after generations gather for memorial celebrations. How ironic or oxymoron, where back then they were treated as if a burden. Good enough to sacrifice, not good enough to save their post-war lives. Vietnam troops deserve so much more. The Korean War shouldn't have been a forgotten war. So many wars fought. So many lives lost. Tell me, is war really worth fighting for? Does the government really only send the poor? Those who do survive deserve a warmer welcoming. Unless you fought any war yourself, you have no right judging. Not a vet myself, but filled with compassion, for without our troops, freedom wouldn't have happened. End poem.
Great read. Thank you. And she writes in her author's notes, this is based on all the prompts, because all the prompts are of war. And although I don't remember having any family in the military, it hurts my heart how they were treated when they got home, at least back in Vietnam and Korean War days. And that's very true, unfortunately, because I joined up. At the trailing edge of Vietnam. That was, I joined in 72. And they were just starting to, scale things down. But my experience was that people were not, there was hostility to returning vets. And unfortunately, some of them with what they experienced with the PTSD over there, the hostility they met when they came back by people who didn't believe in the war, which we found out later was a bad idea anyway, but let's not go down that rabbit hole. It was very sad. And I see now that there's such a change, such a seminal change in how people view the military and their service, and it's nice to see that. And I was actually I was well retired for about 10 years before people started thanking me for my service. And it was a little startling because I'm like, well, yeah, I was in for 20 years, but I've been out for 10. You know, I'm not in anymore. So it, but this is such a heartfelt piece of writing. Stelina, what did you think of it?
Yes, I agree. I think she did a very good job. And, I mean, the title says it all, really. War heroes do deserve so much more. You know, we just take them for granted very often. And it's not until these days come along that we really realize the sacrifice that they make for us and for everyone. You know, it's not, you know, I'm of course, I'm anti-war, but I mean, you know, you can't stop people attacking your country, and you can't stop people attacking your lives and your ways. And, you know, there's a job to do. And, you know, I salute those that go and do it and put themselves at risk. And I think Jenny's piece really writes to that, you know. A lot of these lines, you know, soldiers sacrifice their lives or loved ones just to come home to be tossed aside or lost. It's very sad that we see this, you know, that so many men and women sacrifice so much, and then when they come home, you know, we've all seen it, that they're not treated with right. with the respect that they deserve, you know. It's a shame, but yeah, I agree with what Jenny says, and I think she did a marvelous job and a lovely tribute to the to everyone. Yeah, well
Great
done,
comment.
Jenny.
Thank you, Gavin. What did you?
Yeah, so on topic of war heroes not really being treated with respect, it predates Korea and Vietnam as well. I mean, if you've ever heard of an event called the Bone Army in the United States, there was the World War One veterans gathered in Washington, D.C. Because they didn't get their bonuses that they were promised, and they didn't actually get that until I think right around the beginning of World War Two, and that's what created the middle class in America, is war bonuses.
Excellent point.
Excellent. Yeah, I think the same sort of thing happened in the UK. You know, I mean, I'm too young to remember the war, but my father was in it, and, you know, I remember one or two things from his perspective, so I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, and in terms of the poem, I think that it has an excellent meter all the way through. I think the only part where we get some sort of trip up on the meter is the Korean War shouldn't have been a forgotten war. I think the only adjustment I'd make there is to say Korea shouldn't have been a forgotten war, and it would have fit the meter perfect. I really like how it starts with an alliteration. Kind of like gives you a sense of like where we're going with how the meter's structured, and then it goes into end rhyme poetry. So it's a fantastic piece. It's probably fun to write. It's good to read. So it's a really good poem. And I like the author's notes there at the end, too.
Ahmed. And Gray, you read it. What did you think of it?
You know, not being American, I didn't actually, you know, that wasn't in our country. But, you know, you did see it on TV and you saw how they were treated. And it was, you know, quite remarkable that, you know, these people went and left their families to fight for the freedoms of the people that are, you know, are calling them down in the streets. And, you know, it's just a heart-wrenching scene, you know, to be a soldier coming home to that kind of treatment. It must have been brutal. So,
yeah.
You know, it was a well-written, hard-hitting piece for sure. And I just thought it spoke to the truth.
Great. Thank you. Can you go ahead and post the next one, please?
Yeah, you bet.
All righty.
Okay, here we go.
Right. Okay. Gavin, would you like to give this a shot for us?
Okay. War, Glory, or Taps by Vaha Chuck. I sincerely wish I had less prayers to pray. The rifle and belongings nearby, property of the Army and the one Michael G. Junis, farm boy. From near Atlantic, Cass County, Iowa, all he ever wanted to do in life was marry Jenny May Klepke and raise up children, hogs, and corn. 61st day here, sniper bullet through the helmet, and I pray for him. It is American tradition, especially in the South, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and the Carolinas, where our finest soldiers are born and taught duty, even now in changed times. Don't go in there. I'm reading. All right. Men and women choose to interrupt their lives, leave loved ones behind, along with planned for futures, to be physically and mentally abused until they become a unit of interchangeable parts, then sent to create mayhem, perform the impossible on someone else's soil. So those who wish us harm are denied the pleasure for sacrifice in their prime years, when they accomplish together more than they could individually, where they became a wall keeping those that hate us away from our homes and neighborhoods. We honored them with our deepest appreciation. End poem.
Great read. Great read. Gray, would you like to start the comments off?
You did a great read on that, Gavin. But, you know, this is another poem that is hard-hitting. You know, it's it speaks to the truth of the matter. You know, there is a lot of love for soldiers that, you know, that when it's not, you know, the hated on soldier, I don't know. But, you know, you can feel the compassion that she has for the people that gave their lives protecting her freedom. So it's a beautiful tributary, right? Well done.
Thank you, Gray. Stelena, what did you think of this piece?
Yes, I agree with both of those comments. And I think this piece really brings to mind the fact that these, you know, many of these men and women that were sort of forced in a way to go and fight had lives, had hopes and dreams, aspirations that they had to put on hold, you know, to do this. And this is again just one of the many, many sacrifices that these people made. And you know, this first stanza really writes to that. You know, the property of the army, one Michael G. Junus, farm boy. All he ever wanted to do in life was marry Jenny May Klepke and raise up children, hogs and corn. You know, a very simple life, a farm life. He was looking forward to that. And then suddenly, you know, he's in the middle of a war zone and the sniper bullet gets him. You know, it's such a... sad is not strong enough a word to really describe the sentiment, but I thought this was a lovely piece. It sort of took us into the lives of these people, and
right. Right.
Yeah, and
okay.
You know that.
Sorry, go ahead. It's personalized. Yeah.
Oh, definitely, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Great comment. Yeah.
Yeah. Really personal.
Yeah. Yes, it did. It personalized us. It gives us. She's given us names to the faces and their dreams.
That's right.
And their aspirations, where they came from, it with details that sometimes faceless masses don't get credited with. So yeah, you're right. Very, very personal. Very moving. Right. Gavin, you read this. What did you think of it, dear?
Oh, I love this poem. I like a lot of the choices that they made with, where is it here? I just had it. There it is. They leave loved ones behind along with planned for futures. Right? I just really love that, and I'm not sure why, you know, because like there's other ways to phrase that, you know. That just really stood out to me. I like that they're talking about how like the Southern troops are just different. And they are. I know a lot of troops in the service. My friend Ethan's one of them. He's not from the South necessarily, but his friends that are geared differently. And it says, even now in changed times, you know, it's like this sense of duty and responsibility and sacrifice is passed down it's from generation to generation. And yeah, it's part of the culture, you know.
Yeah.
And I think until they became a unit of interchangeable parts, then sent to create mayhem, also really stands out rhythmically.
Yeah.
I think it fits really well. So I like a lot of these choices for how they chose to phrase a lot of these things, because I probably wouldn't have chosen the same path myself, but it like really stands out to me.
It does. It speaks to the writer's style, and I agree with you. And we have a Silent Tree is on the board, and the comment is a truly gritty piece of poetry of the tradition of sacrifice, well-read, and a beautifully crafted poem, well done. So thank you, Silent Tree, for your contribution there. So we have next, we have Fabrice D., one of my favorites. He comes and he pops in and out. He's like Brigadoon. He comes and goes in a ghostly fashion. So, but we have the great good fortune to have a piece from him. He's an excellent writer, and I'm going to go ahead and tackle this one. This is called The Letter, If I Died Here. If I died or there on the army front, you would cry one day, oh, my beloved. And then my memory would fade as perishes a shell exploding on the army front, a beautiful shell like mimosas blooming. And then this memory bursting into space would coat the whole world with my blood, the sea, the mountains, valleys, the passing star, the wonderful suns ripening into space like new sunflowers, like new fruits of gold. Forgotten memory, alive in all things, I would blush the tips of your pretty pink breasts. I would blush your mouth and your bleeding hair. You would not grow old. All these lovely things, I would always get younger for their gallant fates. This fatal spurt of my blood on the world would bestow on the sun more brightness, to flowers more color, more speed to the wave. An unheard of love would descend on the world. Love would be stronger in your spread out body. If here, love, I died, a memory we forget, recall it sometime in moments of madness, of youth and of love and of bright ardor. My blood's a scorching fountain of happiness, and be the happiest, being the loveliest, you my great folly, oh, you my unique love. End poem. Wow. Stelina, would you like to start the comments off on this?
Yes, certainly. I have to agree with you. The first thing I want to say is that this is not the first piece I've read by Fabrice. You know, he's entered a couple of my contests too. One he got gold for, I believe. And he's a very fine writer, I agree.
Yes.
I enjoy his things. I think this is a beautiful poem. It's a very touching poem. You know, I mean, even the title, The Letter. You know, you can see the soldiers and sailors and whoever writing their letters home, thinking of their loved ones. You know, he brings a lot of that emotion into it, and with his imagery, and you know, the fact that he's remembering you know, the love he shares with his wife or his fiance or whoever she is. You know, and he's doing it so intimately. It's like we're getting into the mind of that person and really living with him every moment of his thoughts. I thought this was a beautiful piece and very, very well penned. And I love the last two lines, you know, and be the happiest, being the loveliest. You, my great folly, oh, you, my unique love. Such a lovely ending. So brilliant poem. Well done, Fabrice. Lovely.
Agreed. I like the fact that this is a reversal. This is from the point of view of the service member who is committing their life to service and knowing that they're putting themselves in harm's way for their country, for their loved ones. And I think that was acutely prominent during World War II. When if you see the general the general culture, the demeanor, the way people faced what they were going through, the sacrifice of the people at home and the sacrifice of the service members, who many of whom lost their lives and whose lives were changed permanently. This really is a very touching love letter to the person that the service member has left behind. So they know that even though they're in harm's way, this is done on their behest because they love them. So this is really a stunning piece of poetry. So, Gavin, what did you think of this?
This is a really, like you said, this is an interesting tribute to the fact that, like, not all warriors are just there to kill. Like, they also love. There's complexity to everybody that serves for the military.
Yes.
And that we're trading these lives, you know, for the sense of some other, like, greater purpose or some sort of political dispute even. But the thing that's truly lost in war is all of this love, right? That's really what's being sacrificed. And I think that really stands out in this line. The fatal spurt of my blood on the world would bestow on the sun more brightness, to flower more color, more speed to the wave, right? It's so vivid in how it describes, like, the importance of this love life, right? And then this memory bursting into space would coat the whole world with my blood. I like it, like that there's a sense of importance in every single soldier that's sacrificed and lost, and it's really, really fascinating tribute to that particular aspect of war and what's lost.
Agreed. Great comments. Gray, what did you think?
I agree on everybody's comment. I agree with everybody's comment so far. You know, his talent definitely shines through in this write, and yeah, he is a talented writer. You know, he manages to evoke a cornucopia of emotion and imagery. You know, it just bursts through the right, you know, like his blood upon the world type thing is full of love. And, you know, it's going to travel the skies and, you know, the valleys and make the waves roll faster. And, know, it's definitely impactful for sure. Well done.
Agreed. It leaves the reader with the sense that the person making the sacrifice knows that the sacrifice is not a futile one. It's not in vain. It has meaning. And so it really a unique point of view. So I really appreciated that. So, okay, let's move on, shall we? Who do we have next? We have some Somalia Colors. I'm coming into myself. Gray, would you like to tackle this one, please?
Sure, you bet. All right, here we go. Somalia Colors. Gentle watercolors for warriors. A sniper's nest in olive shadow and tan. Leaves dancing in light brown on one wall. The rear gunner in an open transport. Desert dune fatigues. Olive gun resting at the ready on his lap as they pass bombed out buildings in shades of gray and stone bullet holes dark and darker, eyes open to sky. A clutch of comrades holding down a window in a firefight, taking turns shooting. Room built, pockmarked. Seen all in shades of desert tan. A light infantry tank moving through a Somali town, women passing in front, dresses in pink and blue, tank in tan and silver, gunners indistinctly in olive drab atop, warriors in watercolor, human scale, looking back on Somalia, the war on terror. Is this how they will remember? Or will fingers curl around the hard stock of a gun, eyes narrow at a quarry, breath come harshly under fire. And poem.
Great read. Thank you. Gavin, please start us off with a comment.
Yeah, I'd be honored. I love Somalia. Before the influence of the Soviet Union on Somalia, it was a very colorful and poetic country. rich and vibrant with life and love. And the terrors of war has completely stained the country and will never be the same, unfortunately. And I think this is a really interesting tribute to that with the choice of colors, because that's mostly what was stripped out in order to get rid of their culture, right? We have shades of gray and stone, desert gun fatigues, olive gun resting at the ready, just so much bombardment of this military-grade color that it kind of strips away at the dresses in pink and blue, right? And it's kind of a tribute to that. And I kind of feel really bad for the Somali people on how their country was ravished. And I really like this tribute.
Great comments. Really insightful. Thank you. Stelena, what did you think?
Yes, I totally agree with Gavin on his comment. And what I did like about this rite too, I mean, the title, Somalia Colors, is in fact the colors that she's brought in to the poem. And she's, because this was an exorcist contest, and the art was important, and the art was provided by the people that had actually served in these wars and these countries. And so the art was a personal part of it. And I liked this poem for that reason, the start gentle watercolors for warriors. So she's brought the fact that these people have depicted what they saw every day, as a normal everyday part of their life. And I really like the last stanza, warriors in watercolor, human scale, looking back on the war on terror. And it also reminds us that, when these people return home, the war follows them, they don't leave it behind.
Yes. Yes.
It carries on for them and for many of them in a very distressing way with, the post-traumatic stress. And so I think she touched on that very well. And I enjoyed this poem very much. Indeed, he was an excellent write.
Great comment. You're right. She depicts it almost as a watercolor, which, and I know the art that she's referring to. These were watercolors done by the combat artists. I think they were even done by Jack Dyer, who was a superb watercolorist. He taught me a lot when I worked with him. But you're right, and it's just what Gavin said about stripping the neutrality, the neutral shades of war, except for blood, for the carnage. Everything else is so neutral. It's so
yes.
So bland. And deceptively so, because there's nothing bland or neutral about a piece of a weaponry, a tank or a gun or what have you, or the uniforms or what accompanies it. Gray, what are your thoughts on this?
I really liked the way that he used the contrasting colors to the drab of the army. The colorful Somalians living their life, and you got these other guys in gray and tan and shadows really, and yet the colors are living their lives with this going on around them. So it's got to be hard to be in that situation and see all that. But it was a wonderful rite. It really is another impactful rite. It has a backbone to it.
Very, very, very visually vivid. And Silent Tree gives a comment on the board. Very intense and very visual, right, full of descriptive imagery. Great read and another wonderful write. I agreed. And some fantastic poetry so far. Agreed. Let's keep diving into it. What have we got next?
We have... Brothers in Hell by Jewish, get it here. Oh my goodness, I can't find the group. There it is. Here we go. All right. So we have Brothers in Hell by Jewish Juggernaut.
Interesting. Interesting nom de plume there. Delano, we haven't heard your dulcet tones since you read your name. Would you like to read this for us?
Would be a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay. Can you hear me? I missed you a little bit there. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay, no, because you broke up for a second. Okay, right, so sorry. So this is a Brothers in Hell, and the poet Jewish Juggernaut. From Harlem we land our nation, far from our regions, by arriving on the shore to feast the native folks where the smells of blood and death fill our nose. Through hell's oceans we will row, not for glamour or raving encore, but because to our nation our lives we owe. We bring the hammer of truth, justice, and the American way with our breaths to slay every foe. Give us liberty or give us death. We are a moving battle station of lean muscle with no hesitation yearning for war. Here we mean to bring the pinnacle of ruination to where the enemy is about to be. Hell we fabricate from the Satan's heart, the devil crush. We throw, dealing the killing blow with our Springfield rifles, stifling the enemy in a symphony of storm fire, lead forged from the blood we bled. Does not matter if we are white or black, for that thinking is a blight, a petty plight. We are brothers, remorselessly carrying out any attack, manning burning cannons, bright flak, besieging balloons, the blips now falling from fiendish imps, felled by flak, and Fokker fighters fire alike. Jewish, Christian, Muslim, atheist, Hindu, Buddhist, or the worshipper of a stag, our brothers' broken bodies we will drag through hell, for all we fight for the flag. Outnumbered, outgunned, and surrounded, we refuse to lose a single foot of ground. Retreat is nowhere to be found. Wounds bleeding, rifles jamming, makeshift clubs striking, clubs shatter, but our will not scatter. Hold our positions the last breath. Our Spartan-like vision, we will be their morticians with knives, our syringes spinning and reaping, dead creeping. Cowards we lack, sending the enemy scurrying back. The flames of hell we will withstand, for we are here and conquer any continent. A vast chasm, grey, ghastly, no man's land. God, let us shout as storms shell pound, thunderstorms sounding, machines ruthlessly rattling, boots hauling, grenades hurling, jagged barbed wire cutting, our hands bravely blistering, our proud blood spilling. Splashing like rubies, fiddling, shouting, more than a mile we have conquered. Fervently fighting for God and country, earning the respect of our enemies, our fighters we are called, for they know we are bold. We graciously thank Germany, even though they are our enemies, foretold. End poem.
Hello, Bobby.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
You there?
I was being brilliant.
I thought I'd be cut off. I thought I'd read all that, and then I've disappeared.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm used to this happening to me. I'm just telling you, that's why.
Breaking up? Yeah, you broke up a little bit here and there.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
Not holding you personally responsible. It's the technology.
Oh, no. It does happen to me quite a bit.
Yeah. But this is, I'm going to start the comments off on this. From a technical point of view, this is a fascinating. This has got an internal rhyme in it that is so subtle and clever. The way the author has constructed this. From Harlem we rose. Among the legions he chose to defend our nation from our regions by arriving on new shores to face our nation's foes where the smell of blood and honor fill our nose. And if you look at it, the word selection in this is so careful, and so this is a crafted piece of writing. The balance, the rhythm, the cadence of it is just so intricate and well done. And amidst that is all this wonderfully vivid visual imagery. I mean, this is superb storytelling, and I see a thread of cynicism very subtly running through the entire thing. That, we're giving our life's blood for what we're told is supposed to be important. And it almost rings out with, is this really what we should be fighting for? Clubs shatter, but our will not scatter. Hold our positions to the last breath. Our Spartan-like division, we will be their morticians. With bolo knives, our syringes stabbing and reaping. Death is creeping. This is amazing piece of writing. I've not seen anything from this author yet, but I think I'm going to have to investigate them. So, Jewish Juggernaut, thank you so much for this amazing piece of writing. Gavin, what did you think?
Now I'm going to second everything you just said because you took it all out of my mouth, but I was thinking the exact same thing. What else could you highlight, though? It's so fantastic using this internal rhyming in that way. And they have, like, this list of theologies, right, like Jewish, Christian, Muslim, and then they say or the worshippers of a stag at the end of it. And I was like, whoa, okay, because then you go on to this next rhyme, like the broken bodies we will drag, right? And it's like, I didn't expect that. It was really nice.
Transitioning. Others' broken bodies we will drag through hell, for we fight all for the fluttering flag. There's the cynicism I was speaking of, too.
Yeah, man. And I think that a lot of soldiers feel this way while they're on the line. You know, like, why are we here? Why are we all dying? They know why they're doing it, but, like, they still repent and resent it all, you know. And I mean, there's
for some conflicts, yes, you're right. That there, you look at it and you go, why am I here? You know, what actually am I accomplishing? So, and I think that's what this piece says very very graphically. So thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't want to steal your thunder. I'll let you go first next time.
No, it's perfect because I mean. I think we do that all the time, though, because you and I have a lot of, like, similar things that we like in poetry. I think that's why we don't like that. So I think, yeah.
Yeah, since we're sharing ourselves. Gray, what did you think of this piece?
I thought Stelina did a beautiful job of reading it, you know.
Yes.
But I really enjoyed it, you know. It is an epic piece, you know, as Silent is saying in the group. But, you know, from Harlem we rose, you know, the Harlem Hellfighters. What a team that was, eh? It just fought through it all, you know, without really knowing why. But they knew that they had to conquer their enemies regardless of what the situation was. So, you know, mine enemy is your enemy. So, you know, let's get him. I thought he did a beautiful job of portraying that in his right. So that's a brotherhood of men for sure.
Yeah, it's a great comment. Jelena, you did an epic job of reading it. What did you think of the piece? Are you muted, dear?
No.
Did we lose her?
Yes, she might be. No,
oh,
she's
no.
still here. She's still on the board.
Okay. She got bit by the mute monster.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. She
well,
was breaking up pretty bad there, so maybe she's speaking.
Yeah.
We can't hear her.
Yeah, or maybe she's dialing back in. So, well, you know what? We'll catch her on the rebound. We're halfway through the show now, and it looks like we're halfway through the poetry, which is unheard of on my show.
Yeah.
So I think we have Ben Hart next, and we have a SoundCloud.
All righty, I'll get that. And here we go.
I'm back, I think.
Yep. Yeah,
you are. Okay. Good. Now, how you can give us your opinion of that piece that you read so beautifully?
Oh, well, I missed some of your comments, but I got the gist of it, and I have to agree with everything that you said. The internal rhyme, the structure, it's a absolutely amazing write, this is. And
yes.
one thing I did want to say about that, he really brought home the fact that when you're fighting shoulder to shoulder, differences between us do not matter. You know,
yes.
whether it's religion, color, race, whatever, you know,
great,
we're all
great
fight.
Point.
Yes.
Great point.
I think he brought that through.
Yes.
So excellent, right?
Stage, and I want everyone to know that this is his fourth poem. He's a brand new AP
oh,
member.
Oh well, bravo.
Yes, and we got his. Contribution to our contest. So, Jewish Juggernaut, thank you so much for that and for a stunning piece of poetry. I'm looking forward to more from him. So,
yes, I'm going to investigate him.
Yeah, I love it when we get new writers. It is it just delights me. So, okay, well, that's
definitely
my clock in the background. Okay, let's have we got the SoundCloud for Ben's piece?
Yep. Okay, here we go.
Okay, fire away.
All right.
Esky and Hart, Mother, the War. Yesterday. Panchromatic memories that trauma made into history. Pen remembers a Sunday school, boys, bull boots. White lace handkerchief, trapping mother's tears of pride. Eyes left. In uniform salute, a sanguine wreaths adorn the cenotaph, remembering the 11th hour, November's pageantry of empty promise. A minute's silence for forgotten sons, as baby blue marches off to war. As the smell of matchsticks' dying breath hearkened back to only Advent days, a kinder kind of cold, where rubbing hands together was a nod to perseverance and not guilt, when met with the warmth his brother's hands could no longer hold. 2. Snow. The cold has lost its bite, but none of its weight, in white lies about life that it is not too late, that you only need drift to find your way, and too many men let hope be eclipsed by false promises. Trust. Only in death, in the man at the door, not simply soldiers then, no, they are the war. Love, only present in faraway places, the furthest home could have been, as they write. These eyes have lost the fight. Mother, I cry in the night, for the peace that knew me, that I only now truly glimpse, when I press my throat close with my thumb. Mother, I wish only love for you, for I fear the world has gone numb. My boots now heavy with mud, these hands are stained with blood. I joined a brotherhood, serving a soldier's god, staring back at me with every pair of eyes he can find, from the dead men to the rooks robbing them blind, and all of them haunt me. As my bullet cracked his head, the soul praying in his temple died set free. The snow at his feet turned red, and one drop at a time might send him to join the dead. Another pair of eyes looking back, and their screams paralyze me. My blood runs in eddies through my hollows, a torrent that God only knows as inside the sickness grows. Every heartbeat, a ticking of the clock. With every next breath, my time is up. No saint, no prophet, no God holy enough. And your prayers won't save me. 3. Shrapnel. Advanced reconnaissance. But there's no such thing as far away anymore. All that exists is the box. Subordinates. Waves of frontline dissonance. Orchestral ordinance plays a blitzkrieg operetta. As necrotic rains uproot everything that once held together at the distance. Firefly phosphorus tracers, igniting petrified phases, banshee bullet graces. Skin flayed, blood spatter, bones shattered and limbs scattered. Muffled radio chatter, blended together into the static. Brother carries brother, running for cover in craters and nowhere road. That heads anywhere but back. One step closer into the hollow. 4. The hollow. One fought for God, the other for his father. Both with a homemade crucifix and clenched fists. They had held each other in the longest night, waiting for the freezing rain to fall again. Thumbprints in a marble sky. Crumpled photographs in Bibles far from home. Emaciated tin soldiers, boys baptized in war, clutching for her apron strings, the bosom of before. Blood-stained bayonets buried to the hilt, beneath barbed-wired barricades, calloused hands caressing steaming tin cups, in a game of chance, where you can't choose sides, lives forever forfeit to circumstance. Blinding flashes of violence are not what robs them of sleep, but what is unearthed from the silence when pinned in solitude, not of their own creation. Rainbow bruises between brothers as screaming bullets keep up the hunt. Mortar dust scratches the lens, keeping their fingers from turning guns of hate upon themselves. The front is so far from here. Trees have become bold enough to grow again. Oaks that bear no name keep watch over every grave. A forest on a field of boys that their gods could not love, where the crow is paid in teeth of gold he can never eat. No fear for the scavenger, who will pick the flesh from their rotting corpse. As he rips the final words from their throat, they have no fear left with which to barter, for they have come to know his hunger. Hordes of pale-faced angels astride ash-white horses, dragged behind them to the sound of trumpets and drums, necks fast in a thuggy snare knot, not a single tear for the faceless man to be cast once more into battle. So caustic is the bleach day breeze, every flack now looks the same. Every door opens unto certain death, dreams of apple-cheeked daughters faint to gray, as the colors leach from their lives. In the dim somewhere distance, where the sun has not risen since, they could see and hear the forest fall, as man sought to drown out the thunder with the screaming of yet another mother that grew pale against the silence. The cost. We all brought it home, the breathlessness, that makes happiness a pebble to be kicked, to be chased down ghost town streets that no one else can see. Further and further away, but the shadow always remains, and will instill a legacy of decay deep within tomorrow's children, regardless of how many daddies ever came home. Because this peace cost us ours, we are still just counting the hours of a day that never ended. Tomorrow never came again, and the ringing, and the shake, and the weight, they never left. I am small. Small as I can be as I lay in this bed, sails of oblivion at my head, in the shadows of a lover, who tries not to push too hard on wounds still raw as I dig at the covers. And in their eyes, I only find the ropes looking back, where that nowhere road came to a dead end. It was not for them, the soldier's lament. Earth's emptiest eulogy will always call a mother old, to see the unsainted heaven sent with a softer breath into a kinder cold. End poem.
Hello, Bobby. Oh,
anybody there?
Bobby. Yeah, I think he's back.
Yeah. He probably
thank you. I got dropped
good.
Suddenly.
It's contagious. It's contagious.
I think so. The gremlins are out tonight. Well,
yeah,
you know
I'm infecting
what?
You.
I'm going to give Gavin first crack at this. What did you think, Gavin?
Oh, man, am I allowed to curse? I think I did curse a lot while I was listening to this. Like, just saying, like, fuck, man. Like, because it's so deep. It's so good. You know?
Yeah.
And I think the moment of silence there was really appropriate. I think we could have gone longer even without seeing anything, and it would have just been really nice dead air. that was haunting. It was chilling. I think the storytelling was fantastic all throughout. There wasn't a single part where it didn't feel like it was completely interwoven. I think some of the best parts that I only now truly glimpsed when I pressed my throat closed with my thumb. Yeah,
yes.
Like that's
yeah.
So strong. And then using the with every pair of eyes he can find from the dead men, you know, the rooks robbing them blind. And then it goes back to that later, you know, and then the second time
yes.
It hits even
yes.
Harder. I can't find it right this very second. I'm still scrolling through it, but damn, man, like, this is so good.
Yeah.
Like, can I buy, like, a physical copy of this, you know? Like, I want a hard copy of this poem. This is cool.
I keep asking Ben when he's going to publish. And a couple of things, Ben is a young man. He, from what he's told us, he's in his mid-20s. The artwork that you see is all his. I don't know if you're aware
what?
Of that. Yeah, all the artwork
what?
Is in the poem is all his work.
Why isn't he published yet exactly? Like, I just sent the publish button on Lifeboat, and it's taken 3 days to pen. But, I mean, I'm just getting something out there to get something out there. This guy isn't published yet?
No. No, and I'm first in line for a signed copy. So all of his artwork is his work, and he always contributes personal artwork to his entries, which makes him, like, you know, twice as interesting. But you're right. I'm surprised you didn't say something about the internal rhyming. That's why I let you go first.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to point out here.
Yeah, it's you're right. I agree completely. Storytelling par excellence, the internal rhyming, the rhythm, the cadence, the use of language. I mean, cenotaph, how many of us know what that is? As sanguine reeds adorn the cenotaph. That is a monument erected to someone who is buried somewhere else.
Yeah, we have one in London.
yeah. But I
in the middle of London.
Look, yeah. If you look through this, the use of language, use of vocabulary, it is with precision that this is a craft, another crafted piece. What did you think, Selena?
Oh, well, Ben knows what I think of his work. I mean, I first learned about Ben on Jeremy's Headliners show, and I was totally blown away by his work and his artwork.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, I went right there and I spoke to Ben and I put up a contest with his artwork. And, it was great. We had some great poems. And,
I
mean, he's got plenty, you know, and so he knows, I've had a conversation with him as well on Skype about doing SoundCloud and stuff, you know, and so he knows my feeling about him and his work. To comment on this poem would be a physical impossibility at this moment because there is so much in it.
Yes.
There's so much in it. You know, it's everything you said, everything I've been said, it's all there, you know, the internal line, the wonderful vocabulary lines, everything is there. And but what I do like as well is sort of that it takes you on a journey along with this soldier, I'm imagining, you know, could be a sailor, but you know, you're following his journey from his mother when he was there and right to the very end, to the of it all, you know. And I liked that development of the journey, but it's just an excellent piece, you know, and the collaboration between both of them, you can't tell where one ends and the other begins. It's totally seamless.
Yeah,
they work very well together. I know they're friends, you know, but they work brilliantly together. So they're both of them. Bravo to both of them, not just Ben. Eski, you did a marvelous job too, you know.
Yes.
Well done, both of them.
And outstanding comments. Thank you so much.
They deserve it. They deserve it, you know.
Truly. Not to be gray out, but what are you thinking?
Yeah, it was a seamless collab. I mean, you know, you really couldn't see any difference between the writer, you know. I mean, it just flowed so seamlessly that you couldn't tell where one left and the other one started, which is a wonderful thing in my mind when you're doing a collab. But, you know, he did an amazing job with his SoundCloud as well. You taught him well, Stelina. You know, it was engaging. It was powerful. I liked each poem. I mean, each numbered section is a poem in itself, you know, it all has merit and holds together seamlessly throughout the write. So I thought it was just beautifully done.
Great comments. Yeah, it is. I'm always delighted. And his comment to me in the sidebar on the contest page was that he hates that he can only send us one contribution per contest. Apparently, he finds my contest of inspirational, and
I agree with him there.
Thank you.
They're wonderful contests.
Oh, thank you. I put a lot of work into them, and I try to make them as inspirational and informative, interesting as I possibly can. So,
and you give us lots of choice, Bobby. You give us lots of choice, which is nice, you know.
It's a lot of work, but you know what? It's a labor
of
love.
It is a lot of work.
I don't mind. This one,
like me, I love doing. I love putting contests up, and I don't mind the work either. I love it. So I can see where you're coming from, you know.
Thank you. Well, let's continue cranking, shall we? Who do we have next?
Wrong link. Do. We have
a song.
Yeah, we have the Jeopardy theme song going.
We have a comment while you're looking. We have a comment by Silent Trees. This is a truly held piece of everything. Another epic write. Bravo, breathtaking, fantastic SoundCloud. So comments and compliments on the SoundCloud. Okay.
All right. So we have The Theater of War by Alexander O.
Okay. Gavin, would you read that for us, please?
I'd like to. We have my son here with me. He's gonna read it for us, I think. go ahead and skip me.
Anytime you're ready.
I think he said go ahead and skip him.
I think
him.
He said skip him, yeah.
Okay, very good.
Sorry.
Well, Greg, go ahead and tackle that, would you please?
Sure, okay. The Theater of War by Alexander O. We paint the canvas of war with pieces of a puzzle, blotching, scraping, serenading, not cascading into the true theater of war. the retrogressive reign of righteousness, thieving time, binding blood. It is in the name of the supreme sublime, so they say. I say it's an illusion, a temporary solution for the prostitution of the rich, selling their souls to smear the blood of the poor like a burnt effigy onto solemn memory, to shroud their tears and agony in fire and victory. Hopeful carcasses forgotten by history, may these words crucify the playwrights and commemorate the jesters' misery. For the theater of war is burning, bending, and alas, broken. End poem.
Great read. Thank you. This is a very concise, very hard-hitting. It's a very strong indictment of war, and I think something that we all can share a feeling about. Well written. The retrogressive reign of righteousness. Great alliteration. Good piece of writing. This is, again, by another author that we haven't had in contest before, and only 35 poems on their page. So I say welcome and thank you for joining the contest. Gavin, what did you think of this piece?
You know, I never really thought of a lot of these words rhyming, but just because they end with Y, right? But they do when you combine them all, right? Like how you have them laid out in the piece gives them a sense of rhythm. Like I would never use effigy and memory to rhyme unless it was in a syntax of other words that have this Y ending. And I really like that choice. I think that the opening, we paint the canvas of war with pieces of a puzzle, is a really interesting concept because like there's a very unique way that it has to fit together in order for war to behave and act in a certain way. And then there's all these different intricate pieces, right, because there's all these individuals that go into it. So I really like that concept. I think the alliteration, the retrogressive reign of righteousness, like you said, was a really interesting alliteration. Yeah. But I think it has a lot of deeper meaning when you apply it to a lot of other things, like I say it as an illusion, right?
Thank you to smear
the blood of the poor, you know, really, really strong stuff.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing out also what is called assonance. Agony, victory, history, memory, that's assonance. And not a lot of poets make good, you'll hear that a lot in song lyrics, but you don't find it as much in poetry. And someone who can use it skillfully, it's a very strong tool. And Alexandro has done a great job of it. So thank you for a terrific comment, Gavin. Stelina, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, I agree. Technically, it's a very well penned piece. To the assonance and and even the rhythm of it, it reads very well. You know, I like the title very much, and I think that sort of idea, that theme, flows through the piece. You know, war doesn't seem real. Even to the people who are fighting it, it seems a very surreal kind of a thing that's going on, you know. I mean, I've never been in war, of course, you know, but I think most of us can, well, we can't imagine the horrors. We can't unless we're there, but we see the horror, and we sympathize with the horror. We can't experience, we can't feel the empathy of it, because we don't experience it. But I'm sure that to some of these people who fought in wars, you know, it didn't seem like a real. It didn't seem real life. Oh. And so I thought the title was very clever, and I thought the way he carried that through, you know, the paint, the canvas of war, and you know, all these allusions he made, like, to, you know, it's been sort of an entertainment for those who send, you know, those with the power to send people to do their fighting while they sit, you know, back and in their nice big mansions, wherever they are, and let us get on with it, you know. And so I thought he had, as you said, it's very hard hitting and it was very, very well crafted. So, you know, well done, Alexander Rowe.
Great comment. And Gavin, I realize I just stepped right all over your comment. So did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
Oh, no, that was it. That was perfect. And I think the following comment there kind of sealed in a lot of the thoughts that I probably missed.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was getting enthusiastic about what you were saying. I tend to jump in and join. You know, when I see the conversation slowing down, it's like a carousel. I just kind of jump on.
I think we're all like one mind, really, aren't we? We're all going the same track, yeah.
And Gray, what did you think of the Theater of War?
I thought it was a fantastic piece. You know, it really speaks to the subject of war and all that it entails. You know, we paint the canvas of war with pieces of a puzzle. You know, like Gavin pointed out, you know, it is all these little pieces that, you know, have to fit together to keep the war going in a certain direction. And, you know, you know, you're trying to get every piece in place as it falls. So kind of like Tetris, I guess, in a way, you know, where you got all these men and hoops and, you know, you got to make them land correct to build the, you know, to not have it all topple over on you. And so, you know, it's definitely hard hitting, impactful, and commemorate. May these words crucify the playwrights and commemorate the jester's misery. For the theater of war is burning, bending, and alas, broken. True that, you know, it is. It always will be.
Yeah. Great comments. Well, I think what do we have next up? We have three rows of two. Let me go ahead and tackle that one because I have ulterior motive. I read this, I'm going to throw one of my pieces up there that actually kind of echoes this. So I'm going to go ahead and read this, and we have two rows of three by Thomas Mastie. Another one in two rows marches to the drumstick click, two rows of three, carry one more soldier home. A mother cries, maybe a wife, listen to the drumstick click, two rows of three, carry one more soldier home. The young are the pawns and pay the price of leaders in chambers safely at home. And so another and another marches to the drumstick click, two rows of three, carry one more soldier home. End poem. Now I'm going to throw mine up there. Paste. There we go. All righty. And this is a brevity that I wrote a few years ago. It's honors rendered. Standing at your family's door, in uniform, I deliver the news. I was your escort. I brought you home, my fallen comrade. I present the folded flag and bronze star. Honors rendered, grief shared. End poem. Ground for that is in my author's note. While I was in the Corps, I once served as a body escort for a deceased Marine, and it's an indescribable experience. You deliver the news, you stay with the family through the funeral, and then when you watch the detail fold the flag, they give it to you and you present it to the family, and you grieve with them because they've lost a loved one. And you've lost a comrade. It is something you never forget. There's a film out there not very well known. It's I think it's called Taking Chase, and it's with Kevin Bacon, and it's based on a journal that a lieutenant colonel wrote about being a body escort for a young Marine that came back from the Gulf in conflict, and he brought the body, and he wrote about it because he's escorting a young Marine who has died in combat, and this Lieutenant Colonel had never seen combat, and he was very conflicted about his experience and the experience of this Marine that he was taking home. And he wrote a journal, and it went it got published on the internet and went viral, and they did a film on it. And I had actually forgotten about my experience as body escort until I started watching this film, and I was very glad that I was alone, because I think I sobbed for an hour and a half through the entire thing. But I recommend this piece for anyone who wants to see, because it actually takes the escort through Delaware, where the remains come in and are processed, and they show you some details like the selecting of the uniform for the body and the taking it home, and what this escort has to go through, and what the people who process the remains go through. And it's you'll never forget it. It's with Kevin Bacon. I think it's called Taking Chase. Anyway, let's go back to Two Rows of Three. This is, if you've never seen a military funeral, it's a very sobering, vision, a very, very sobering experience. And the way Thomas Massey expressed this, and it's in a brevity, is so powerful. I won't pick one piece out, because the whole thing is just from start to finish stunning. Gray, what did you think?
Sorry, I really thought it spoke to, you know, I mean, one in every three men die basically in a war is what they're saying. And, you know, that's a hard number to swallow when you think about, you know, 100 out of 300 men are going to, you know, go home in a casket, you know, and, you know, somebody's going to deliver them to their family, as you did in your poem. And, you know, but, you know, I really enjoy the tradition and the respect given to that solemn event. And, you know, I salute you for your service. So. Excellent, right?
Thank you.
On both accounts.
Yeah, it's the Two Rows of Three is six men that carry a casket to the gravesite, and that's the pallbearers. So, Gavin, what did you think?
I really like how it's talking about the drumstick click. Right, but this whole thing has a very musical rhythm to it in its own sense, like maybe this could be sung. But I think what really stood out to me is where the two rows of three should be in the stanza where it's not. It says of leaders in chambers, and we were talking about that in the last couple poems as well, where we just have this sense of people that don't really risk themselves being the ones that orchestrate it all. And I think that it's highlighting that emphasis there by skipping the two rows of three in that section. And I think that there's a lot to brevity in that way, but I think that was very intentional. So I really like this piece. I really like brevity in this way. So I like the repetition of it all, and where it doesn't repeat, it gives it all its own significance.
Yes, a refrain. I agree. That was a very skillful piece of writing. Selena, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Gavin has really sort of echoed my thoughts there. You know, it does, as you're reading it, you sort of see the way they carry the casket, you know, the movement of them, the slow, you know, sort of respectful. I can't think of the word I want at the moment. It's very, yeah, it's, you know, it's like 4:45 a.m. here, so.
all on my good was part.
Yeah, you know, so.
All the hesitation.
Yeah, it's just. You can, when you read it, you can see the soldiers, you know, marching. Or slow marching with a casket. It follows the rhythm of this ceremony. That's what I got from it. You know, another one in two rows marches to the drumstick click. It's got that rhythm. And again, as Gavin said, you know, it pinpoints or it sort of elucidates on the fact that it's, you know, the leader sitting nice and comfortable, the, you know, the fat cats safely at home, sending everybody out to do their work for them, you know, or they decide where we go, what we do, and so yeah, it's a very sad piece, and I also thought that adding yours to this in a way sort of finished the whole image off so well, you know.
Okay.
This is that, and then, you know, the thought of you accompanying the you know, the body home, and very sad indeed. And
it,
I thought, you know, yeah, I can imagine being a very hard job to do. So, you know, as Grace said, you know, it's a lot of respect there for you and for all those who do that, you know, for us. So, yeah, lovely piece. Yeah, I liked it very much.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, you made me think of something else, too, because it's like a marching song almost.
That's what I got, Gabby. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll say, like, another one in two rows marches to the drumstick click, and then everybody else behind will say, two rows of three, carry one more soldier home. Like, that's the kind of feeling I got from it.
Yeah, me too. That's what I was thinking.
Excellent point.
And when you think of it, you know, when you're training, you know, we've all seen this, you know, where you're singing the chants and you're marching or running. That's how the training goes, and then this is how it ends. You know, it's very poignant, really, in that way. Yeah.
It is. Well, thank you. Great comments. And let's continue to march. We have about 15 minutes left. Let's see if we can. We can get through what we have left. Who's next?
So do you want to do the next one by Luke Jr. or do you want the one by Pam?
Oh well, let's put Pam out there. My goodness, I definitely want to hear. Does she have a SoundCloud?
No, I don't think so. She had called to read it because she wanted to be here tonight, but obviously come up.
I'll channel Pam. How's that? I know I read already, but I'll go ahead and channel Pam. So we have Layers of Death and Haunted Memories by Pam Ray. His shell-shocked stare speaks volumes on the ghosts of war. He tries to tell people his memories are clogged with hyperventilated stances. Crouched in layers of death, but there doesn't seem to be the right words to describe the oozing ugliness that haunts him. He needs love and understanding, though he can't say that. He can only find a way to numb the pain and ignore the judgment. He would be proud to be proud of serving his country, but he's too busy trying not to smash his soul into the sidewalk's crack. He wants to forget the way the blood sinks into foreign sands and strewn limbs create a visceral Dadaism of flesh and bones. His best friend died. Another soldier he barely knew died, and he thinks it should have been me. He remembers screams of slow suffering, missiles exploding upon impact, the acrid stench of burning flesh. White smoke writes death messages in the sky. He feels too broken to celebrate the long weekends. So he just stares at his reflection and a wall of names, and all he can think of is, it should have been me. End poem. Wow. Selena, what did you think?
Well, I mean, Pam is a very gifted writer, whatever she writes. And, you know, I thought this was a marvellous piece. Again, I always love to look at the titles. You know, they say so much. I'm terrible at titles. I really am. And, you know, for example, when I'm writing a collaboration with Arcana, I always say to him, over to you for the title, because I can never think of a good one, you know. And I'm terrible at it. But, you know, Layers of Death in Haunted Memories, this speaks a little to me, again, about post-traumatic stress, perhaps, you know, the haunted memories. And, you know, the beginning, his shell-shocked stare speaks volumes on the ghosts of war. His memories are clogged, you know, so I get that from it, about the PTSD. I also get from it this guilt that I expect many servicemen feel when, you know, their friends have died and, you know, and their comrades, and they carry this guilt. Well, you know, why did it happen to them? I was there and I'm still here, you know. So a lot of very moving emotions within the poem. Some wonderful lines, of course. Technically, it's a wonderful write. Yeah, I thought she did an excellent job with this, really, as she always does, anyway. Our Pam, you know, but and also the darkness, you know, she likes the dark like me, I know, but she brings that darkness in as well, like the acrid stench of burning flesh, while black smoke writes death messages in the sky. I love that line. You know, I wish I had thought of it. Writes death messages in the sky. You know, that's the best compliment I could pay anybody. Can I have that line? You know,
yes.
The imagery,
yes,
is wonderful. So bravo, Pam, you know.
And I haven't up until now. Normally, I stress very heavily my comments based on how the writer interprets the prompt that they have selected,
yeah,
or how it inspires them. And considering the contest, I decided not to approach it that way, because all of them basically is the same theme. But I have to comment in this case, as yours did, and I should have said something earlier. But
no, you did. You
artist,
did say something. You did say
did
something.
I, okay.
Yes,
your interpretation of the your selected prompt, as is Pam's here, by the same artist, Tom Lay, her writing captures everything in detail that's going on in the prompt, in the piece of artwork, just spectacularly. So great job, Pam. Gavin, what did you think of this piece?
I think my favorite stanza, hands down, has got to be, he would be proud of serving his country, but he's too busy trying not to smash his soul into the sidewalk's crack. Right?
Yeah.
I just think,
yeah,
I think that the sidewalk's crack is really small. You know, I skateboard on sidewalks and stuff, so I'm always conscious of the cracks. But I think of it being trampled constantly. You know what I mean? Like and it's also try not to step on the crack or you'll break your mother's back, sort of an idea as well, kind of came to mind when I read that. So I think that she did an excellent job with this piece, and I really admire that stanza.
Great comment. Gray, what were your thoughts?
You know, Pam's such a talented person with her writing as well. You know, she's kind of like you, Stelina, where she can just fit any niche and hit it on the head. You know, I thought it was a beautiful read as well, Bobby.
Certainly.
Yeah, I think we've got time
really
for one more piece. Yeah. Can you throw Shrapnel out there by Luke Jr.?
Okay. Phil did say that it was right on her show last night, so I don't know if you want to grab another one.
I'm sorry?
Phil put
say again?
Phil put in the group that Luke Jr.'s was read on her show last night.
Oh, this one was read already?
Yeah, it was read on Phil's show.
Oh, very good. Okay, well, that's fine. Then let's drop down to Scott's enemy, hidden enemy.
Okay. Here we go.
Good. All righty. And Gavin, you want to tackle this one for us?
All right. Let's see what we got here. Hidden Enemy by S. Sharp. I think I've read one of their poems before. The warm mist felt nice, a spritz in the visible halo of fog. Walking slowly, quietly, along jungle paths, I wanted to whisper to Frankie how nice the rain felt. We entered the paddy, rice field cut with precision. Oh, great. We entered the paddy, rice field cut with precision into the jungle thicket where Viet Cong lurked, shadows tracking our every move. 100 men swiveling heads left and right in the open, rain-soaked paddy crossing in a broad daylight. Sitting ducks waiting on the hellfire, caught in the middle, too far in to turn back, no way to run forward. Bullets like swamp flies, buzzing in ear, men diving trying to get low, but you could never get low enough. Mortars landing, diving upon their prey, vultures of war, eating the flesh of soldiers, digging their graves, hidden somewhere in the Miao King Delta as the sun began to set, 50 miles from the China Sea, where living nightmares spawn a lifetime of memories. Here's your grape.
I like your accompaniment there. Great read, especially under stress there. Selena, what did you think of Scott's piece?
Oh, hang on, I've lost it. Oh, I've got it. Sorry, I was still on Pam's piece. This is another, Scott is another good writer, of course. We hear a lot of his poetry, and it's always very pleasing to listen to and to read. I think the imagery is very powerful here. I mean, obviously, it's Vietnam War we're talking about here. And I myself wrote a piece a while back for one of the contests, and I did a bit of research on the Vietnam War, and because I always like to research when I write something like that, because obviously I wasn't there, so you know I have to get it right. And I like how he started this out. You know, the warm mist felt nice, a spritz in a visible halo of fog. You know, in any other sort of scenario, he would be enjoying this feeling. But then, you know, they enter the paddy, and then they're in the jungle thicket, and it's sort of a comparison of like real life to the life of the soldier in such such a horrible war. It was a horrible war,
yeah.
And terrible things happened to these men and women, and I like that contrast at the beginning. And then, of course, the last part there, the vultures of war eating the flesh of soldiers, digging their graves hidden somewhere in the Mekong Delta. But the sun began to set 50 miles from the China Sea. So, and a lifetime of memory. So he begins it and he ends it with the contrast. And I thought that was a really skillful write by Scott. I really enjoyed it. Great read, too, Gavin and Co. And little Gavin.
I like that the title is subtle, because I think the hidden enemy is not only the obvious, the armed adversary, but the hidden enemy is also war itself.
Yeah, so, and also
Gavin,
the conditions, too, yeah.
Yes, I agree. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No.
Gavin, what did you think? You wrote it, read it.
Yeah. Okay. So I really liked that you could never get low enough, right? Because in this contrast that we're talking about,
Yeah.
So in this contrast we're talking about, I got the Viet Cong here. in this contrast we're talking about, a lot of the times when you see scenes from Vietnam and portrayed in movies or something like that, you do have this like big open like rice field sort of an area surrounded by deep jungle, and they have to cross it in order to get to the other side. And that's usually where the mowdowns happen. And I think this is really interesting imagery with that scene that we're all very familiar with. It's portrayed so many times.
Well, I'm going to stop everyone right here because we've got about 60 seconds left, maybe. And I want to thank you all for calling in. Thank you so much. You made it a wonderful show. I really appreciate your input and your contributions. I will talk quickly about June. We're going to have my double header, which I threatened to do last month, but I wanted to wait until Memorial Day out of the way. We're going to have a double header called Too Much of a Good Thing, the Pagan Imagery of Thomas Allen Copera. The man was so prolific.
Ooh, nice.
He had so much artwork out there that I had to make two contests. So we're going to have a double header back-to-back-to-back contest with the same artist in June. So go crazy, people.
Yes.
Thank you again for your contributions to the Memorial Day contest and show. I really appreciated everyone's participation. So thank you so very much. And have
pleasure.
A wonderful rest of your weekend. And go to bed.
No. I will later.
Good night, everyone.
Very enjoyable show. Nice company, nice poetry. Well done on the contest.
Thank you.
Good night, all. You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night, Gavin.
Good night, Gray, love.
Good night,
Gavin. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.